Well, this is probably seems like an easy passage out of the Bible, but it can become the most difficult. But there is something that we have to make sure and clear. And you must, as we've gone through the 40 days or we're going through of Lent, you must look at yourself inwardly. And this is a time to look and say, where is my relationship with God? Nicodemus was looking at Jesus and said, we think, you know, you're a rabbi. And it wasn't just him as a Jewish leader. There must have been others. They believe Nicodemus might have been part of the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, the legal sect of the Jewish people, a high leader. It says he came at night, and no matter where you've heard it before, you will not find in the Bible why he came at night. You can make assumptions, but we don't know why. And that's not really the focus. The focus is what Nicodemus asked, is really if, you know, he recognizes miracles that are done. And they say he's a teacher of God. Maybe you experienced a miracle in your life. Some of you, maybe even recently, on how fast you recovered from health or whatever. I believe that's God. I don't know about you, but I believe that's God. God working. But if you never experienced a miracle, what do you believe? And that's what this passage is about, is there is a way for you to know today, are you a follower of Christ? And the blessed thing to know as we get in the aging process, it doesn't mean you have to be old to go to the next realm, is where am I heading? Am I heading to heaven? It's interesting because a lot of people have some religion, or they've been around religion. Maybe their parents were religious. Maybe they even read the Bible at home. But their eternity isn't settled. So we're going to look at ourselves and see, are we settled? You want to know that today? Well, if not, you're going to find out anyway. So Jesus tells him very simply to Nicodemus, you must be born again. When I was younger, I was looking for a church, and I went to a church, attended. I would invite the pastor to the house, and I would ask him questions. And one of the questions I wanted to know, not only the church constitution, the bylaws, which some people don't look at, I wanted to know, what was his relationship with God? This term, born again, I mentioned, he goes, well, you know, that's a Baptist thing. And so I'm not Baptist, so I don't have that. And then, I said, well, then when did you accept Christ as your Savior? Oh, that's another denomination. That's a Presbyterian thing. I don't go with that. We went through quite a few different sentences to find out, and then I finally asked, what is your personal experience and relationship with God? When did you know in your life that you needed a Savior? And he said, well, I know when I was looking for a job, I figured seminary would be good, and I'd make pretty good money through it. Sad, isn't it? Being used and supposed to lead a church and a congregation, but the one who would give the message doesn't even have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know? Someone asked me recently, do I have to be baptized again? Kind of like Nicodemus said, huh? Well, do I have to be reborn? How are you going to get this old man back to his mom? And be reborn. It doesn't make sense. It's interesting because at the beginning, Nicodemus kind of gave honor to Christ. And then later, I got a little sarcastic with him with his responses. So how do I know? You were born of the flesh. You know that, right? You came as a babe. You were born. You didn't get hatched from an egg. You didn't go down as an animal and change. You were born. When you were born in the flesh. And in this world, as soon as we come into it, we are born into sin. The nature of a baby when they start to speak, other than saying mom or dad or mommy or whatever, is no. Automatically, it's set that we would rebel against some order. Order of authority of a parent. Order of an authority of a government, as long as it's not overpressing. And then we are fighting the order of God. That makes us all, as Romans says, you have all sinned. And you come short of the glory of God. And matters that you have sinned, and before a holy God, he cannot deal with sin. It could not enter into his presence. And now God had a plan. God loved you, who you were when you were a child, who you were as a teenager, who you are as an adult. God loves you where you are, who you are, and what you've done. But he could not have a relationship with you, especially for eternity, if you are not cleansed before him as no sin. The figure on the cross and God's purpose for his only son was to die on the cross, to give us all a way to be with him in paradise into heaven. So, one, if you mark it in your head or on your sheet, I am a sinner. Now, you could go by the Ten Commandments and look at it. We went through a couple where it said murder. It meant more than just physically killing someone. And you could put down there, yes, check mark, I'm a sinner. Number two, as a sinner, I can do nothing to take the sin away myself. I can't give away to make it look good, do good deeds. I can't do good work. Nothing is going to wipe that slate clean. I can be a good person. I can live a good life. I can be kind. You can also be a scoundrel and you'll be nasty. We're all the same. We've sinned. And we can't fix that problem. Then in my life, somebody told me about Jesus. Could be God himself. God revealed for his word. God revealed through music. God, in my case, revealed himself not only from the knowledge I'd received as a child, but through art. Every one of us may have a different story, how we realize our need for a Savior. Mary said even at the time of Jesus' birth in her prayer, read it, she recognizes a need that this is my Savior. Now, in some denominations, they can use different words. Jesus was making it simple for Nicodemus and for us all. You must come from an earthly birth, and then you must have a spiritual birth. Now, God in his mercy helps those that are not in the ability to make the decision and recognize those things in itself. We know that because David, when he had sinned, one of the things that happened was that his son, a newborn baby, died. And he tells us, he gives us that hope in Scripture, the only really place, is that we shall see that child again when he reaches heaven. So, as you recognize your need for the Savior, it's not from your heritage, it's not from your teaching or doing good deeds, it's from you finally realizing, I'm a sinner. And I accept what God has done. Now, in the Lutheran faith, we have baptism of children. That is simply recognizing parents have a child, they want to raise that child in a godly way, and they're asking for the people that come and stand with them to help them, remind them that they need to do that, support them, And then when they're presented to the congregation, we're all agreeing that whenever we can, that child will receive knowledge we have in Christ. That's what a baby dedication is. Baptisms that are used throughout after somebody has confirmed that they need the Savior is to simply tell the community they lived in, this is the old me. This is who you know who I am. But I want you to know now that my old self, the way I used to be, is gone. And I am a new person in Christ. Remember Corinthians, it tells us we are what? A new creation. So how do I know? We recognize one God. Amen? I know we're not used to that in Lutheran churches sometimes. One God. Not multi-gods, not to be kind to other religions or disrespectful to whatever they have, but there is only one God. And in John, he tells us later, in the Gospel of John, you'll find out 90% of what is in the Gospel of John is not anywhere in any of the other Gospels. So it's a good book to read. But he says there that, number one, you have to be born again. And he tells us that later on, the famous verse we all heard is what? For God so loved the world. Now, there are some people I have a hard time loving, do you? I'll be honest. Even I got a robe on, it's hard. And I know what that little thing said up in the pulpit. I got to be able to do that. But I like the other part that you mentioned. It said with what? God's help. Because in the flesh, I won't be able to do that. Somebody that hurts a child, I got a big problem with that. Some of the people that are in jail serving time for certain things, I would have time, hard time with that. But when you look at yourself, we are no different. We are all, in God's eyes, unholy people. And we need a Savior. When we learned that Jesus died for us, and we accept that, immediately the Holy Spirit of God indwells within the believer. You have power you probably haven't tapped into all yet. It will give you conscience and filter that maybe I can flee from that. There's scripture I didn't understand before. Maybe I've read it all the time because that was what our practice was. But now the Word of God is coming alive. I see before I come before communion that I need to examine myself, look at my life, and say how much I am so thankful that God died for me. For God so loved you that He sent His only begotten Son. The very best, some people wonder in their life, and you may come into them, that this world now with mental health and other issues, they're at a point where they want to give up. And there's suicide of teenagers now more than I've ever heard. Never had to really seem to deal with that as I was growing up as a teenager. They need a Savior. They need to know Him. And He can do mighty things for any of you at any age. Then the question is, when you recognize you're a sinner, you know that God sent His Son to die for you. Have you ever accepted that in your heart? God, thank you for saving me. And when you do, you are spiritually reborn. You're reborn in the Spirit of God. Now, it says also to be reborn in water, and I'll tell you, as many theologians are out there, there's all different reasons and dialect for that. There was a system of the Jewish custom that water was part of purification. So He has now made me pure. We can look at it that way. And He has, by Spirit, now shown me my need for a Savior. It sounds simple. The gospel is so simple. Yet sometimes it's so difficult for people to accept. So the challenge for us all is, where are we in our spiritual life? Are we trusting in what God has done for us? Can you really today call him your Savior? And if you have been doing the religious thing of coming to church or trying to spend time in the Word, and that's been a problem, then what you really need to do is look for the Savior, that he saved me from my sins. And if you can say that, then our joy of living is to simply serve him and wait for that day when he calls us home through death, or he will catch some in the air should he come back today. And if you haven't ever dedicated your life and understand that God died for you, you have opportunity today. And you quietly can do that in your seat and recognize him before you come for communion and say, you know, I've just done this communion thing because that's what they taught me. That was the next step. But you can come today and you can say, I'm coming, God, is a different way. I'm coming knowing I'm a child of God, I've been born again, and I am coming with a heart full that you gave yourself for me. And every time we come, we should be examining ourselves before we come. Remember we talked about if there's a problem with someone else in the church, we got to go to them and get it right. If it's not in the church, you still need to get it right. Something you're not doing, not living right, or whatever, you need to get it right. And then you come and ask God, as we look at the forgiveness on Sundays, you can ask him anytime, forgive me. But when you come here, can you come today and say, I love you, and thank you for what you've done for me? Do that, I pray, today. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have gospel that will tell us our need for a Savior. We thank you that you were obedient to the point that you died on the cross. And then we're thankful that God accepted your sacrifice for my sin. And we thank you for all that trust in you. You've given us a new life in Christ. And if someone here today hasn't done that, may they do it today. In Jesus' precious name, amen.